entertainment. It's edutainment with the Data Doctors on News Radio 620 KTAR.
And welcome back from the news. It is the Computer Corner right here, News Radio 620 KTAR. And we were talking to Adam, and he had some news tidbits, some highlights, some things to tease us with. Let's start with the first one, shall we, Adam? Plasmas possibly on their way out.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the replacement?
Well, carbon TVs.
Carbon actually. TVs.
Actually, I do kind of deserve the bonehead of the day this week because, yes, this was actually a resource in last week's radio show page.
Let's go ahead and give you that, then.
Bonehead of the day!
Thank you.
And let's remind people first, because we came back from the news, and people who are listening now may not always be listening. We're a show about technology and computers and things like that, and Adam just started calling in one day, and we said, hey, Adam, you're pretty smart. Why don't you call back and, talk to us about stuff? And Adam's 14 years old. And he, on a regular basis, kind of shows us up. But today, he's the bonehead of the day because he's talking about a subject we talked about last week.
Yep.
Now you're saying carbon?
Carbon.
TVs?
It's just a different way of saying the way you guys talked about it before, but it's a new type of TV that's based on both the LCD and the old, the big, fat CRT TV technology.
So it's like
a hybrid of them.
A mixture of the two, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And LCD is liquid crystal display, which is like old calculators and stuff all worked, but they've kind of made it in color, obviously.
Yeah. Right.
And they mix the two together somehow. And you say carbon, and I think automatically like grilling with charcoal. So
yeah.
I don't know. But something, somehow they put together some other TV, which I didn't understand how LCD worked. I don't understand how plasma works. I certainly don't understand how CRT works and whatever this new thing.
There's a splash of nanotechnology in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is another big deal.
It's a good
right
mixed drink.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's move on to something maybe we can fathom here, Adam.
Well, for you AOL users out there, I guess there is one thing that, one more useful thing that AOL can give you. They're testing a new idea that would give users 100 megs of free internet space. Not web space, but like storage for pictures, music, whatever.
All right, so you could throw some stuff up there and say, hey, check it out, or just for you to like back stuff up, or...
Or, yeah, just about anything. You can put put it on there, and I think you can access it from any computer with AOL on it.
This is actually a pretty smart move on AOL's part. They've been kind of high-priced and not necessarily great service for quite a while, and what they're doing, rather than drop the price like every other ISP, instead they're starting to add services, which
right.
I think is a smart move because that's going to be a big differentiator for them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else in the world is turning into a $9.95 or $12.95 ISP, and AOL has said, no, we're going to keep our $25 a month, but what we're going to do is give you more junk. So, like,
yeah.
They give you now antivirus software, and they give you this little tool that supposedly fixes what's wrong with your computer, although it doesn't really do much, but it looks cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, that commercial with the little kid that's fixing the computer, and he's, like,
mashing the keyboard.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't think so. But anyway, they're starting to value add and give you some stuff, which is trying to keep subscribers around rather than drop their price, which I think is a smart idea. Not that I think that going to AOL is a smart idea, but it's smart of them to try to think about how to add on to their service rather than decrease the price. So just another thing that they're going to add to the arsenal, if you will, of AOLers, and they're going to count on the fact that 90% of people won't use this free thing that they're going to give you, either because they can't figure it out or they don't even know it exists,
right.
Or because they don't want to take the time to figure it out. And, that's cool.
Can you imagine if everybody actually used those 100 megabytes, that they would need an enormous amount of storage space?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they have, 26 million users just in the U.S., and then they've got the rest of the world, so... Mm.
Multiply that by 100 megabytes each, ooh.
Yeah, that's a lot. I wonder also if they're going to, if you go beyond the 100 megabytes, if they start to charge you per megabyte, so maybe they're counting on, like cell phone plans for everybody goes over, and that's where they really make money. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we'll wait and see what happens with that. What else you got for us, Adam?
Well, Hitachi Hard Drive Company, their hard drives are getting bigger and smaller at the same time.
Bigger and smaller at the same time. Now, how does that happen? Because, I took physics in high school, and you haven't gotten there yet, Adam, but you can't get bigger and smaller at the same time.
Oh, really?
Or can you?
Well,
I'm just playing along here, Adam. Go.
Well, Hitachi, the maker of one of the smallest hard drives.
Most smallest like.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going for bonehead of the year, but go ahead.
I get it from Ken. but they make the mini drive.
Okay.
Which is a very small drive the size of a domino now, actually. They have one that's going to be the size of one domino.
One domino, all right.
And this drive can hold more than two DVDs worth of stuff. I mean, 10 gigabytes of storage.
That's pretty good.
That's a lot of junk.
Yeah, so the capacity is getting a lot bigger, but the hard drives are getting so small that you could use them in things like... small media devices or cell phones even.
Yeah, I think the target on this is something that you're starting to see a lot of, that they're talking a lot about at CES, I imagine. We'll find out from Ken later on, which is taking movies and television and things that you've recorded, maybe from your DVR or just stuff that you've downloaded or purchased, and being able to make that very portable.
Yeah.
And so obviously the need to increase storage is a driver of these things, and these storage devices now getting smaller and bigger at the same time help push that along.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam, for next week, I got something for you to kind of check out, research, download, and tell me what you think.
Ooh.
Are you running Windows XP?
I am.
You are. Well, if you do a little Google search for Microsoft anti-spyware, there's a download. It's a beta download for Microsoft's website you can get for free. And it's anti-spyware software, and it's rumored to possibly be part of either a future service pack or future OS from Microsoft, but you can download the thing and check it out. I've been trying it out for a few days, and it just it got released a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you check that thing out? Let us know what you think. It does a lot more than what it says it does.
Yeah.
So check it out and let us know for next week.
I will do that.
I've been playing with it for a few days as well. It seems pretty decent.
We'll do a full review on that next week. How's that sound?
Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks, Adam.
No problem.
And thanks for your 14-year-oldness. That's Adam, and he calls in, like we said, just about every week, except for when he doesn't, and he's 14. And why that's significant is because at 14 years old, he knows at least as much and probably way more than I know at more than twice his age, and he shows us up all the time.
Yep.
And we've got first dibs on him, by the way, for any of our competitors listening, for when he becomes of legal age to hire him. So we have already got a contract, I believe. Anyway, moving on. This week's show is all about networking, Networking 101, it's titled. If you've got questions about networking, you want to know how to set up a basic network, you've got issues with an existing network, or you're just thinking about what could I do with a network, we've got a number for you to dial. It's 602-277-5827, 277-KTAR, or check out our website at datadoctors.com and look in the right-hand side for links to ask a question about networking or make a suggestion about networking.
Yeah. With the explosion of broadband and the fact that most households now have at least two computers, this is becoming more of an issue because it's not something that most people know how to do.
Yeah, but it's something that most people, if they don't already have the need for, will have the need for at some point in the very short future. Should we go to calls or should we... I got an email here that I'm gonna talk about because people ask about this kind of thing a lot. And a guy named Tim writes in with an MS backup utility question. And he's talking about the backup utility built into Microsoft. But the question isn't necessarily specific to that. He says, in the Windows XP Pro accessories, I inadvertently scheduled an extra backup and assigned it a slightly different name and now have two backups scheduled for the same time daily. I cannot figure out how to delete one of the backups or jobs. Can you help? And what he's really talking about is forget the fact that it's a backup. There's the ability in Windows... And the ability has been there for a long time to create scheduled tasks, things that run on a occurring basis or a reoccurring basis, and you can schedule them ahead of time. You can make them happen just once. You can make them happen daily, weekly, monthly, however often you want to set something up to happen. And it can be just about any action. You can set a defrag up. You can set a scan disk up. You can set a backup up. You can make it run some kind of program that would dial the internet if you had dial-up and upload something. You can do all kinds of different things depending on how sophisticated you want to get. But what people don't understand is once they get things scheduled, how do you get in and take a look at those scheduled tasks and be able to deal with them? And Windows built in something called a task scheduler. And what you want to do if you're in Windows XP, you click on Start, then go to Programs, up to Accessories, and then System Tools finally, you'll find something called Scheduled Tasks. When you open that up, it'll show you the listing of all the tasks you have scheduled, and there you can double-click or right-click and say properties on those things and edit those tasks, delete those tasks, and put those tasks on hold if you wanted.
You could even start it up right there.
You can. You can start the task immediately, even though it's scheduled for the future. just by right-clicking and choosing one of the options associated. So, Tim, if you're listening, I hope that helps. If you weren't listening, or if you didn't catch those steps and you're listening and think, hey, I want to be able to do that, just stay tuned early next week. We always send a follow-up newsletter to this show, and Chad will have those step-by-step instructions right there. If you're not already subscribed to our newsletter, you can do so. It's free of spam and free of advertisements. You can subscribe at our website, datadoctors.com. Look for the big box that says subscribe. You put in your email address, click and follow some instructions, and it's pretty simple. Also, if you are currently subscribed and you've moved to a different ISP or changed addresses, instead of emailing us saying, hey, can you switch my address, you can do it yourself. Just go back to the same place you did subscribe or look at the bottom of any email that we send out to that list. It gives you clear instructions on how to change your address or unsubscribe. Or if you missed all that, again, at our website, datadoctors.com, follow the same links as you would to subscribe. Just look for instructions there on how to change your address or unsubscribe. I think we've got just another minute or so. We're going to talk to Rick and see if Rick can ask his question. If we can answer it quickly, we will. Otherwise, we might have to put Rick back on hold and catch him on the other side of the break. But, Rick, go ahead.
I don't have my browser anymore.
Have your browser anymore?
No, I can dial into the Internet. It'll connect. I get the Windows icons down the computer icons down at the bottom flashing back and forth to indicate I'm connected.
Okay.
But I can't browse.
Okay, so does the browser, I mean, you actually have the program there, it just doesn't function?
It's not functioning. I'm running Windows 2000 with MSN 9.
Okay.
And I tried Internet Explorer and the MSN 9, and neither one of them work or will browse for me.
Neither one of them browses. Okay, have you added or deleted any kind of software that's supposed to help with something like spyware or firewalls or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And I talked to Microsoft, obviously, in Argentina and everywhere else, and they gave up.
They gave up, huh?
Yes, they said you got to start over.
Well, there's a couple of different possibilities. We're going to go through a simple one. Are you in front of your computer right now?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, if you open up Internet Explorer.
Okay.
On the top, you've got all the different menu options. One is Tools.
Okay.
You want to click on that and come down to Internet Options.
Okay.
Then click on over to the Connections tab.
Okay.
And then down under LAN Settings, L-A-N Settings.
Right.
Just make sure that in there it does not have any checkboxes in the proxy settings.
Okay. No in the proxy
settings. So clear any of those checkboxes and say okay. If there was anything checked there, that may have something to do with your problem. If there wasn't anything there, then that's not going to be your problem.
I don't think that's the problem, to be honest
with
you.
It's probably not. It's a simple thing we like to start with, and usually start with the basics first.
Yep.
Beyond that, if neither of the two browsers that you're trying are working, but you are getting connected to the Internet, another option would be to talk with your ISP just to see if they're able to see your connection when you log in. I'm guessing that they probably will be able to,
yes,
but again, we're going to start with the simple stuff.
Yes, they can see it.
If they're seeing it and you don't have those proxy setting issues that we talked about and you've tried two different browsers and they're both having the same kind of problem,
right,
then my best guess at what's wrong with your system is something got damaged with what's called the TCP/IP settings or the stack.
I've reinstalled TCP/IP settings a couple times.
Okay. There's a couple of things that sometimes can get damaged that there's actually some repair tools you have to use to fix.
Okay.
Tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
I'm going to find the information because we talked about this fairly recently. I think we might even have something posted at our site.
No, you don't.
And
I tried what was on the site.
Well, hang tight for just a second. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to research his problem, and we're going to take your call, 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner right here on News Radio 620 KTAR. Back after this quick break.